was there. It is my first time coming to Jerusalem with my father. I was so excited to be coming to the great city of David. My older brother, Alexander, had been before. He acted like he knew everything. I'd point out something I saw on our trip, and he'd just say, "Yeah, I saw that last time I was here." But I didn't let his hoity attitude bother me. I was in the great city of David. There are lots of people, more than Abba expected. The crowd seemed angry, pushy, and agitated. We had just bought our Passover lamb when a mob came up the street. Tried to duck down some alleys, but to no avail. We are stuck in this crowd. I heard that the Romans were to crucify some men today. Why today? It was my first time coming to Jerusalem and the Romans were ruining it. Just like they ruin everything else. I tried to stay close to Abba and Alexander. It was hard in the mass of people. But then, a Roman soldier grabbed Abba's arm and forced him to carry the cross of one of the criminals. I was terrified. Abba couldn't refuse. I tried to stay close to Abba as he struggled with his load, but the multitude of cloaks ahead of us swallowed him up. "Abba! Abba! Come back!" Alexander grabbed my arm. I looked up into his eyes and saw fear. What were we going to do? Alexander nodded his head in the direction that the crowd was going, and we followed. I held onto his arm so tightly that my hand hurt. Finally, we were there, at the place where the criminals were to be hung. I buried my face in Alexander's shoulder. I couldn't watch. The sound was bad enough. Bang! 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 I could hear the spikes going in. Abba! I wanted Abba. I was so scared that I was trembling. Then I felt Alexander let go of me. I looked up and Abba was there, but he had blood on his cloak. Blood from the criminal. Blood that the Romans had put on him. But then he turned our faces toward his, and there was excitement in his eyes. I was confused. Then Abba said in a trembling voice, "It is him. It is Jesus, the Messiah."
I was there. Being the youngest in my troop, I got the crap jobs. But no one could pull rank on this job. Everyone was needed to keep this crowd back. The first two were ordinary, everyday crucifixions. It was the third man that had caused the ruckus. We almost had to stop a riot earlier at Pilate's palace. Now, we are taking the criminals to Golgotha. People were pressing in, blocking the way. Don't these people know that we are Rome? I knocked enough out of the way that they should get the message. Then the criminal fell. I was actually surprised that he had made it this far. He had been beaten so badly that he hardly looked like a human anymore. My commander pointed to a man in the crowd. This poor sap was to carry the timber through this crowd. I grabbed his arm so there'd be no question to his obedience. It took longer than usual to arrive at the hill, but we did. The leaders, or chief priests, or whoever they were, seemed to have enough control that no one interrupted the pounding of the spikes. Each man was put up on their cross to die. Then the mocking began. I had seen enough Christian fictions to know not to look at those who were up there. Instead, I looked at the crowd. This was one of their own countrymen, yet they hated him so. I didn't know what his crime was. I had heard he was supposed to be some kind of prophet. How could this one man cause such a reaction? I saw others in the crowd. I can only assume that they were his followers. Every prophet has followers. These men and women looked harmless to me. Then the darkness came. I am a trained soldier in the Imperial Army of Rome. I have been trained not to feel fear. But that day, for those hours when it was dark in the sky like that, I was afraid. This was not an ordinary crucifixion. There was something supernatural going on here. Then the man they called Jesus shouted something in Hebrew. I didn't know what he had said. Another in my troop told me later what he had said. My God, why have you forsaken me? And as he said this, I broke my own rule and looked up into his eyes. What I saw there sent trembles through my whole body. Then my commander said what was all on our minds. Surely, this man was the Son of God.
There. That week before the crucifixion was terrible. Joseph was called to many a council meeting during that week. My Joseph was unlike most of the other council members. He confided in me so that we could pray together. He was so upset about the things that were happening. There was that incident in the temple, in the court of the Gentiles, the overturning of the tables of the money changers, and then meeting after meeting after meeting, ending in that night before the crucifixion, that late night meeting when Joseph came home. I could tell something terrible had happened. He looked crushed. Not too many people knew of his allegiance to the convicted. The next morning, he said to me, "I couldn't stop the crucifixion, but I will at least give him a proper burial." Wife, this could cost us our reputation. Prepare the linen and the spices. I will go and talk with Nicodemus. Secure the tomb, and we will go to Pilate and claim the body. All was arranged. With parchment in hand, Joseph and Nicodemus went to the soldiers, took down the body. When his body was down off that horrible cross, I helped the men prepare it for burial. We took him to the tomb. I saw the women who had come from Galilee with him, watching us. They saw where he was laid. Joseph and I went home, and I wept all Sabbath. I wept. I wept for someone, for the loss of someone to believe in. I wept for his followers, the women who had watched us bury the teacher. I wept for myself, for my little faith. My heart trembled. My faith was so small.
was there. Us women, we saw where they laid the teacher, and we went to prepare spices. But it was the Sabbath. That Sabbath was such a long day. I don't remember much about it. So grieved were his followers. My heart felt like a glass vase that had fallen and shattered on a cold stone floor. Once the sun was up the next day, we were out the door to go prepare his body. It had been too long already. As we hurried along, Joanna turned to us and said, "What about the stone? How will we move it out of the way?" And then Salome turned and added, "I've heard that Pilate has posted a guard. Will they let us through?" We were within sight of the tomb. We could see the guards surrounding it and the stone in place. When the ground began to shake, the tremor was so severe that we fell to the ground and huddled together. It was Mary Magdalene who looked up first. Her gasp caused the rest of us to look. There, around the tomb, the soldiers lay, dead. At least they looked dead to me. And the stone had been moved out of the way. We were terrified. It was Mary Magdalene who gathered her wits first and rushed into the tomb. The rest of us followed cautiously. Suddenly, we were blinded by a brilliant light. How many angels there were for sure, none of us really knew. But we were on the ground, trembling, when we heard his voice resonating. "Do not be afraid," his voice reverberated against the stone walls. "You are looking for Jesus, who is crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Go, tell the others." What? Jesus has risen? This couldn't be true. But my heart and mind couldn't deny what I had just experienced. I had to get out of there. I rushed out of the tomb ahead of the others. I needed to get back home, out of the garden, back to Jerusalem. What was going on? I had spent yesterday grieving. Now what? When we got back, we told the others what had happened, and Peter and John ran off, I can only assume, to go see for themselves. I sat in a corner, trembling. What if this were all true? Mary Magdalene came and sat beside me. We embraced and cried. We cried tears of joy and fear and wonder. Then she grabbed my hands and looked into my eyes with such exhilaration, I thought she might burst. Then she exclaimed, "It's just as he said. He has risen up from the grave."
Sometimes I feel Yet. Amazing. He arose, took up his own life. We heard about some of the stories. Were you there? Some people that experienced Jesus while he was on the planet, experienced him up close and personal. And because he's still alive, people are still experiencing him up close and personal. We get to hear from two of those. I'll invite Johnny Wall and Dan Sharp up. They're going to share their testimonies. So come on up, men. Johnny Wall is going to join us today as a member of this congregation. And Dan Sharp is requesting baptism. So since this is nice and tall, we'll shoot it up here. We'll let Johnny share his testimony first. Come boldly and tell us your personal experience with Jesus.
Good morning. You guys might be wondering who the stranger up here is. All right. My name is Johnny Wall, for those of you who don't know me. And thank you for the privilege for sharing my story of what God's done in my life here today. I was raised in a Christian family, loving parents, great siblings, although we did fight a lot. I went to a Christian school in Mexico up until grade 9, and here in Canada I went to a public high school. despite growing up in a Christian loving home, I never understood the gospel. For some reason, it never clicked in me, and excuse me. And it took until 2008. We had revival services at our church in Picture Butte at the time, and one day there, or throughout the whole service, every evening, you know, I felt God's calling in my heart, and it was a strong calling. And every night, I just shrugged it off. It's, you know, it's not a big deal. It's, you know, it's not for me, or whatever excuse I made. One evening, that calling was so strong, and I knew what I had to do. And just see where. And that evening, one of the guest pastors, along with one of the a gentleman that later became the young adults leader, we prayed together. And that feeling when you give your life to God, it's a very supernatural feeling. You have a feeling that something inside you changed. You feel lighter. You feel a burden taken off of you. You just feel freer. It's a very supernatural feeling. It's hard to explain, and just a wonderful feeling. And that was in 2008, in March, I believe, when I gave my life to God. And later that year, I was baptized into the Picture Butte Mennonite Church. And in the years 2009 and 2010, I went to Bible school in Mexico. Wonderful experience. I learned a lot about God, about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who they all are, and how they're all one God. And just learning more about the Bible, strengthening my faith, and being able to stay strong in my faith. But it was after Bible school, that's when the devil really started working. And he had no mercy. It was quite hard. My faith was tested. The endless temptations, being criticized by co-workers, and just being made that my faith was complete nonsense and lies. And it was hard to stay strong. And one passage from the Bible that helped me stay strong and realize that realize the truth of Jesus and his sacrifice that he made for me is from James 1, 2 to 6. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. So Jesus didn't promise that it was going to be easy following him. But persevering through the hard times will make me stronger. And when I ask God for wisdom, I know I won't doubt. So that's a little bit of my walk with God up until now. Obviously, there's a lot of other stories in between. But one story that I'd like to share to just demonstrate God's amazing power and how he works in my life and other people's lives. In 2009, I was working for a farmer, and I had moved out at the time. And I was guaranteed work until we were done seeding. But after that, I was out of a job. And as most of you recall, 2009, the economy wasn't the greatest, so finding a job was quite difficult. And I wanted to move on to something other than agriculture, so I wanted to operate heavy equipment. And although applying at dozens of companies, nobody was hiring. And excuse me. One Monday morning, it was the last week that I I was working for the farmer. I arrived to the field and had a flat tire on the air seater. All right, no big deal. Took it off, took it to the shop. And when I got to the shop, the mechanic, he took it into town. And the secretary comes up to me and asked me that, knowing that I needed another job, she asked me if I had a job already. Nope, I did not. Okay, well, she knew that there was an opening at the County of Lethbridge construction crew. Okay, so I ran into town quickly, and I filled out an application, and went back to work. A few days later, they called me in for an interview, and that same week, I got the job yet. And immediately, I gave no thought to it, and, backing up a little bit, about finding a job, I was very nervous. And one Sunday, this was before this whole experience, the pastor had a message about giving all our burdens and troubles to God because he truly provides. And that's when all this happened. A few weeks after I was already working, it all of a sudden just dawned on me. I prayed and asked God to take all the burdens about finding a job, and he provided. It was through him working through a flat tire on an air seater, through the secretary at work, and through my obedience that this happened. And that feeling, again, like it's such a supernatural feeling, like it still gives me shivers thinking about it to this day, like how God works so miraculously in our lives. So thank you again for this opportunity to share my testimony, and I look forward to working here for God's kingdom and strengthening my faith. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Johnny. We've had the privilege of having Johnny in our home a few times now and some good visits, and encourage you, get to know him, hear some of the other ways God's been working in his life, and celebrate together, share our lives with him as well. Right on. Now we'll have Dan Short share his testimony.
Hello, my name is Daniel Sharp. I am here to be baptized. I was saved when I was almost 4. We had devotions, then we went to bed. When Mom was tucking me in, she asked me if I wanted to ask Jesus into my heart. I said yes. So she told me how to give my heart to God, and I did that. Toby Mac has lots of songs that I like. In one song, he says that we should do what Jesus says, not what the world says. That means to follow the path of salvation, not the path of temptation. It is like you're going on a path, and the crowd wants you to go one way, and Jesus wants you to go another way. I want to walk with Jesus on the path of obedience. Mommy says she has seen lots of changes in me since then. Daddy says he sees me being taught by the Spirit and listening to the Spirit. I am now 9 years old. Weeks ago, we were having family devotions at the breakfast table. Mommy talked a little about what baptism is about, and we do it when God tells us it is time to do it. When we are all done devotions, I was sitting quietly because I was listening to God speak to me. He was telling me that it was time to be baptized. Mommy asked me why I was being so quiet, so I told her. She then phoned Pastor Gary. We went over to his house, and he asked me questions. I'm here today because I want everyone to know that I'm a Christian and because I'm being obedient to God telling me to get baptized. I love Jesus and Jesus loves us. He died on the cross for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, John 3:16. That is so amazing.
That is amazing. We don't make it a habit of baptizing.
Or adjust the mic stand. dance?
I don't know what's wrong with it. Anyways, that is amazing. We don't make a habit. We don't put pressure on certainly children or anyone to be baptized. Jesus invites us to follow him and act in obedience. And Dan here, young Dan, had a couple of experiences, several experiences with Jesus, and he wants to respond. He wants to respond in obedience. Baptism should be one of the first acts of obedience of a follower of Jesus. Come into faith and then baptize. And then be taught. I'm trying to quote scripture as well, but go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I have taught you. The teaching follows. Sometimes we want our lives all just perfect beforehand, but the reality is it's a life of discipleship that he invites us to. And so baptism is a declaration of something that's already gone on inside of us. It's saying, I'm already trusting in Jesus Christ alone as my Savior, as my Lord, and I've already decided to follow him, and I want to follow him in an act of baptism. And that's what Dan's doing here today. He says, I'm already following Jesus, but I want to publicly declare to everyone that I am a Christian. Did you hear that? I want everyone to know I'm a Christian. That is awesome. And so is the truth of John 3:16, like you read there. So we're going to go get ready while you guys sing. We're going to go get ready to get wet and baptize young Dan here. And then we'll welcome them into fellowship hereafter.
He is risen. Please stand with us as we respond in worship.
Story. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy and perfect peace, celebrate, finally we'll see. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. And oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Forever I am changed.
Excellent. Thank you. It is truly a happy day. I mean, we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead, and because of his resurrection, we can be resurrected too. We are dead in our trespasses and sins apart from Jesus. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. In him, we can have forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life. It's powerful. It's amazing. It's transforming. I know. I experienced it at age 20. Gives us new life. Dan, I'll invite you down into the waters of baptism. We do some interesting things here in church. Baptism is a... We'll have an uplifting experience here. But we do some odd things in church, right? But baptism is a clear picture of what God has done. It's a picture that we've been died to ourselves. When we go under the water, it's a picture of death. That's the punishment we deserve. And it's the punishment that Jesus took for us. And when we're raised out of the water, we're raised to newness of life, new life in Jesus. And it's amazing. And Dan, we've already heard your testimony, but I'm going to ask you anyways. I love clarifying. Are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation and for the promise of eternal abundant life?
Yes.
Right on. Then in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I now baptize you. Woo! Right on. Bless you.
With us.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Name above all names, but the wine broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in you, all our hope is in you, all the glory to glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer. For sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah.
What a great day. What a celebration. What a great day in history. And what a great day in an ongoing way for all who are in relationship with Jesus. And the potential of a truly great day for those that don't know Jesus yet, because he hasn't returned. He hasn't returned to completely set things right yet. He's in the process of doing that. But we still have opportunity to be in right relationship, fully trusting in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, as these two brave men have shared with us this morning. As we consider the church being welcomed into fellowship, you may be seated. I'm just so excited, I'll just chat. You guys can join me. It's a common biblical word, but maybe you're not that familiar with the Bible. It's the word church. It's used to describe the people of God. Those who have chosen to follow Jesus are collectively called the church, not just in this building, though we call that a church as well, a place where the people gather, not just this congregation or even all the other Mennonite brethren congregations, but all those who follow Jesus, Baptists and Christian Missionary Alliance and all sorts in all places around this globe, is called the church. And it means called out ones, called out from where we were, called out from something and called to something. We leave our way of life. This is the way we go on our own, and we say, no, I'm not only going that way anymore. I'm not trusting in my best thinking and whatever else. I'm going to trust in Jesus and follow Him. And we repent, which means turn around. We turn around and we follow God. So when He invites us to something, we say yes. Because He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He leads us to good things. If we're reading the Bible, amazing promises of God in there. Like Johnny said so well, when he receives the forgiveness of God, it's, wow, it's an overwhelming feeling having that release, that burden off of our back of guilt and condemnation. Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to seek and to save the lost. And coming together as His church, we come together, we leave something, we're called out ones, called out of the world, and we're called to something. We're called to actively follow Jesus. And we're called to do that together. We're never alone. God is with us, and we're with each other. So church membership is important. We're not just a member of this worldwide church all over, because how can we possibly live out the relationships that we're called to live out when it's just generic and it's arm's length? We're called to live this out up close and personal, encouraging one another, love one another. There's dozens of one another's in Scripture. And we do it as we get to know each other in relationship. We grow towards God and experience Him more personally and powerfully. And we grow to become the people of God, a biblical community. And He's given us a mission. He says, go and make disciples. And together we do that. We commit to doing that. So I'm going to invite Dan and Johnny back up here, and we're going to welcome them into all of that. They've already stated, they've left the world their own way and following Jesus. And they want to grow in their relationship with God, and they need our help to do that. They need people to teach them, walk beside them, point out the way that they're in alignment with God's calling on their lives and when they're not, and encourage them. And we need what they bring to our fellowship, this local church, or we're going to miss out on something that God has for us as well. We need them to speak into our lives, journey with us, and together we go out on mission, because the church doesn't exist for ourselves. We don't gather here just to hoard this message to ourselves. That would be the epitome, the highest level of selfishness. To keep this message that we celebrate today, that Jesus is risen. And further, He's risen right in us. He's in direct relationship with us. So together we go and carry that message to Coaldale, Southern Alberta, Canada, wherever else He leads us for His glory and His sake. So it's my privilege to partner with both of you, because I've got to hear more of your stories than many people here. But it's an invitation. They've put themselves out there. They've shared some of their story, inviting you into their lives. Would you stand with me as we invite them into our lives to journey together? And Dan, come here. Congratulations on your baptism, and we welcome you into fellowship today. And Johnny, bless you. Congratulations on you and your testimony with God. And we welcome you into fellowship so that we can journey together. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for doing this. This is supernatural that You have come. You stepped out of heaven into history. And You are the way and the truth and the life. And we trust in You. Together we learn how to follow You. So I thank You for Your faithfulness and for Dan's response to Your faithfulness. I thank You for Your faithfulness to Johnny and for his obedient response. Would we together learn how to obediently follow You as Your people, for Your glory and for the building of Your kingdom. We pray in Your powerful name, Jesus. Amen.